Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm into my sixth week of teaching on the subject of God wants you well. I tell you, I believe that with all of my heart, and we have been getting awesome testimonies. We've had a huge response on our phones. You know, one of the things that's happening is we're offering this little pamphlet. I don't know where it went. Here it is. And this little booklet has testimonies and teaching in here about healing. Plus, on the back, it has every time in the Gospels that Jesus healed a person. It's just a powerful thing. And this is a freebie. If you'll call, we'll send this to you. But then we have this MP3 USB thing that you stick in your computer, and it's got over 40 hours worth of teaching on it. And we also have a book on the subject of God Wants You Well, DVDs, CDs, a study guide, and then we have four of these DVDs that just have testimonies on here. I've been playing a lot of these testimonies, and I tell you, they've been powerful. So we've got a huge amount of resources here on the subject of healing, and there really is no reason for you to be sick. I know that there's some of you that think, well, you just don't understand. The doctor says this. I'm telling you that the Word of God says He heals all of our sickness and all of our infirmities. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. That God wishes above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And if you can believe and receive it, you can be healed. It doesn't matter what your situation is. I believe that with all of my heart. Praise God. I know that there's people watching this program that don't believe that. There's probably a lot of people that just turn this program off because they just can't believe in a God that's willing to heal everybody. But that is the truth. Jesus was a perfect representation of God the Father. He says, I only do what I see my Father do. And He went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Acts 10:38. So we've been talking about, well, that if all this is true, then why isn't everybody healed? One reason is because they don't believe. You can't believe if you haven't heard the Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. There's people that don't believe because they've been taught wrong. They've been taught that it's of the devil to believe that God heals. I think I use this example, but we just had an article written about us in the paper as we've moved up to our new facility in Woodland Park, and they quoted the previous mayor as saying, we don't need these kind of people in our community. They believe that you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he just thought that that was terrible. There's lots of people like that that don't believe in healing, believe that this is bad stuff. I don't agree with that. Certainly, I don't even understand exactly why people are so set against it, but there are people that are. So if you don't believe, you won't receive. But it's possible to believe and at the same time have unbelief, and that unbelief will cancel out or negate your faith. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. His disciple says, why couldn't we cast him out? And he says, it's because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So I've spent a number of days trying to show that you can negate your faith through unbelief. You can be believing God, and if you didn't have any unbelief, it would be sufficient to get healed, but unbelief can counter that. And sometimes it's the unbelief of people around you and their negativism, and people won't counter it because they don't want to offend people. Sometimes it's your own unbelief. It's your own fears and stuff. But you can believe and disbelieve. So what you've got to do is to get rid of that unbelief. Now, how do you do that? Look at this in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. After he had said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, it can cast a mountain into the sea. He said, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Did you know I've heard people teach on this, and they always say it's talking about this kind of demon. and they come up with these beliefs that there are certain demons that are stronger than others, and some demons won't respond to just faith in the name of Jesus and using your authority, that you've also got to fast and pray in order to get rid of these demons. That's not true. If you were to ever encounter a demon that wouldn't bow the knee to the name of Jesus and faith in His name, well, then your fasting and prayer is not going to get rid of them either. The truth is, nothing is greater than the name of Jesus and faith in His name. If you speak to any demon, I don't care if it's Satan himself, in the name of Jesus and put faith in that, Satan has to bow the knee. This isn't talking about that certain types of demon only go out by prayer and fasting. The subject of the sentence up here in verse 20 was unbelief. The problem was unbelief. And how do you get rid of this kind of unbelief? That kind of unbelief only comes out through fasting and prayer. Now that's big. Because again, I've been involved in some of this stuff where there was a lot of deliverance type stuff, and they make certain demons harder than others and stuff, and it leads into all kinds of abuses and weirdness and all kinds of junk. You know, I'm not glorifying this at all, and I'm not saying this to be critical of other people, because I've done this. But when I first became aware that there were demons, I got into some strange, strange things. And it was weird. And we saw some people set free, but it was weird. And there was also, it's like playing with fire. There was some potential damage. And I had Satan attack me, and I had a lot of things happen. I won't spend time on that. But I've learned a better way. I now realize that Satan is a zero with the rim knocked off. He's nothing unless I empower him through my fear or unbelief. And I now see demons cast out of people, but it's really simple compared to what it used to be. I don't have to, you know, spend months prepping them. I don't have to get five or six people together. We don't have to get them to go back into their mother's womb and deal with these hurts and pains and find out how all of this stuff happened. I tell you, there's a lot of weirdness in these areas. You have authority over the devil, and there is no demon that won't respond to the name of Jesus and faith in His name. But your unbelief, your fear about things can hinder your faith from working. And how do you get rid of that kind of unbelief? That's what Jesus was talking about. Let me also say this. I'm not against anybody. You know, if you're reading the NIV, praise God that you're reading. So I'm not 100% against that. But I've already made this point. In the 20th verse, the NIV says it's your little faith, which is definitely not what Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 is saying. And then the NIV doesn't even have the 21st verse in it. They just chose to exclude that. And this is one of the major points right here. So if you've got one of those NIVs, I suggest that you get a real Bible, man. Again, I'm not totally against it. Sometimes I'll quote from the NIV, but if you want to be accurate, you need to get a better translation than that. There's at least 4, 5, 6 verses that I found that they just took out of the Bible because it didn't fit their theology. You need to get you a whole Bible. And I'm telling you that this is a major point right here. It says, howbeit this kind, talking about this kind of unbelief only goes out by prayer and fasting. So here is another Andrewism. You know, I can't show you a scripture that says this concisely, but my study of the Word and the things that God has led me, I can categorize unbelief into 3 major categories. And again, this is just andiology. I can't show you a verse, but I believe that these things are true. And for the purpose of discussion, it will help you to understand what it's talking about. It says this kind, talking about unbelief, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So apparently there's different kinds of unbelief. And I've put them into 3 categories. The first one is just an unbelief that comes through ignorance. Or in our politically correct, touchy-feely world, unbelief that comes through a lack of knowledge. You know, if my using the word ignorance is offensive to you, just get over it. Amen. I don't mean anything by it, but It's just plain. It's just, you know, we're ignorant of things. Before I understood about healing, I never got healed. You aren't going to get healed accidentally. If you don't pursue it, you won't get it. You can pray and say, God, if it's your will, heal me. You'll never get healed. You're going to have to know that it's God's will, and then you're going to have to pursue it, and you're going to have to stand against some things, some unbelief. And if you don't do it, it won't work. But see, before you understood these things, it just doesn't happen unless you believe for it and receive it. So there is unbelief about spiritual things because of people's ignorance. Most people do not know what the Word of God says. They do not base their life on what the Word says. They've been brought up to believe a certain way, and they just accept it blindly, and they're just ignorant, or they have a lack of knowledge. If you don't know what the truth of God's Word says, there is going to be a natural resistance, or what the Bible would call unbelief, towards those things. How do you overcome that type of unbelief? Well, it's real simple. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John chapter 8, verse 32. Only the truth that you know can set you free. But if you are ignorant, if you are uninformed, well, all you got to do to counter that type of unbelief is tell a person the truth. And once they hear the truth, they aren't ignorant anymore. Now, they still have to accept it and embrace it, but the way you counter an unbelief that comes through just ignorance is that you tell a person the truth, and they shall know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. So the antidote, the cure for that is you just tell a person the truth. And if their heart is open, well, then they can get rid of this kind of unbelief. But this is not the kind of unbelief that Jesus was talking about here. There's a second type of unbelief that, again, these are just totally my terminologies, but there's a second type of unbelief that I call disbelief, or it's actually faith, but it's faith in the wrong thing. You've been taught the wrong thing. For instance, in the context of what I've been talking about with healing, most of the denominations teach against healing. Some of them will say, oh yeah, God is sovereign. He can do whatever He wants to. It's possible to be healed. If a person got healed, they wouldn't necessarily reject it. But they teach that you certainly can't expect it. You can't believe for it. It's just up to God. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. You have no control over it, so you just ask and then wait and see. See, that's unbelief. That is wrong teaching. That is not what the Word of God teaches. And if you've been taught wrong, then you have faith, but you're believing in the wrong way. I believe that all unbelief is faith in the wrong thing. For instance, if a person is struggling to believe, God, do you really want me to be healed? It's because you've been taught wrong. You've been taught that God doesn't get that involved in our normal everyday affairs. God doesn't do this. God is detached from us. Some people have even been taught God's the source of that, and God puts this sickness on people to teach them things and stuff. If you've been taught that stuff, you're believing, but you're just believing the wrong thing. That's what unbelief is. Your faith is going in the wrong direction. If this direction over here is healing and towards God, you're going in this direction because you've been taught the wrong thing. How do you get rid of that kind of unbelief? Well, basically, it's the same answer as the first type of an unbelief that comes through ignorance. The second type of unbelief where you've been taught the wrong thing, it's the same thing. You tell a person the truth, and then they renew their mind, and they can get rid of that unbelief. But it's harder because, in a sense, it's like if you were in a classroom and if you had a blackboard up there, it would be, if you had the blackboard written on and it was just totally filled with all of this wrong stuff. Well, for you to write anything else on it, you have to, first of all, erase what is already there and clean it off so that you could write the new stuff on it. If you have ignorance and that's the source of your unbelief, you're like a blank board. You haven't had anything written on it. It's relatively easy to tell a person the truth and get them to accept that. But if a person has been taught wrongly, well then, see, you've got to somehow or another counter all of that unbelief and all of this wrong stuff that they've been taught. And you've got to just by point, go through and counter all of these things that they've been taught and erase that stuff before you can write faith on there. And so it's the same principle. You tell a person the truth, and the truth will make you free, but you've got to counter all of this wrong thinking, all of this wrong believing. But the first two types of unbelief, an unbelief that comes through ignorance and an unbelief that is because of wrong teaching, the antidote, the answer is the same thing. You tell a person the truth. And with varying degrees of effort, if that person will apply themselves, they can receive that truth and it'll get rid of that unbelief. And then they start operating in faith and their little bit of faith works. But there's a third type of unbelief, and this is what I believe Jesus was referring to here. And this type of unbelief is what I call a natural unbelief. It's not through ignorance. You've heard the truth. It's not because you've been taught and are believing the wrong thing. You've had your mind renewed. But I believe that there is just an unbelief that comes naturally that you have to deal with. And in this instance, I've already turned over to Mark chapter 9 and read this same story out of Mark chapter 9. I won't take time to turn back there, but if you turn over to Mark chapter 9, it says that when this boy who had this lunatic spirit was brought to Jesus, that he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. I don't know if any of you have ever seen a person have an epileptic seizure. I don't know for sure that that's exactly the same thing, but most scholars believe that this was something like a seizure. And over there in Mark chapter 9, as it describes what happened, it says that he fell on the ground and wallowed and foamed at the mouth. It's very similar to an epileptic seizure. And if you've ever seen a person have that, I guarantee you, it is a frightful thing. The first time I ever saw this was when I was in high school and we were on risers. I was in the choir and we were on these risers at a high school assembly, and the girl in front of me, we went to church together, she had an epileptic seizure. And she turned around and looked at me and fell into my arms, and she was foaming at the mouth. She had bit her tongue and she was having this seizure, and I guarantee you, it like to have scared everything out of me. Hair on the back of my neck was standing up. I'd never seen that before. If you've ever seen this, this is a big deal. And when you see something like that, did you know it just naturally causes fear and unbelief in things like this, especially for these disciples? It says that this boy was brought to the disciples and they tried to cast the demon out, but they couldn't. And I'm reading a little bit between the lines, but when this boy was brought to Jesus, the Spirit tore him and he had a seizure. I believe that same thing happened with the disciples. And what I think happened was they had cast demons out before. You can read about that in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. And they had success before. But apparently this time when they went to cast the demons out of this boy, this demon manifested, this boy fell on the ground and started having a seizure, was foaming at the mouth, and what they saw with their eyes did not match what they were believing for with their heart. And when you have that happen, when your experience doesn't match up with what you're praying and believing for, then you are susceptible to just a natural form of unbelief. It's not necessarily demonic. It's not because you're ignorant. It's not because you've been taught the wrong thing. It's just that you see something contrary to what you believe. And if you aren't strong in faith, then you are naturally going to have thoughts of unbelief. If you pray for a person to be healed and if they fall over dead, you're naturally going to think it didn't work. Now, that's contrary to what God's Word says. God's Word says you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But just because you are believing and acting on the Word of God, everything's not going to just line up perfectly. Satan will resist you. It happened with Jesus. They brought this demon-possessed boy to Jesus and the demon took over and he fell on the ground and it looked worse. It looked like they had died, so much so that many people thought he was dead, and yet Jesus would lift him up. He wasn't moved by what he saw. He knew that he had spoken. He believed. He trusted his Father, and he refused to be moved by what he saw. So see, being moved by what you see, letting circumstances dominate you more than what God's Word says, is not necessarily ignorance. It's not necessarily wrong teaching. It's just natural. You see something with your eyes, contrary to what you believe for, you're naturally going to have thoughts of unbelief. If you pray for something and hear something contrary to what you believe for, you are naturally going to have thoughts of unbelief. If you pray for a healing in your own body, and yet if you still feel pain, you are naturally going to feel unbelief. You are going to have thoughts of unbelief. So there is a natural unbelief. How do you overcome that? How do you overcome this natural unbelief? The first two types of unbelief, you overcome ignorance and wrong teaching by the Word of God. But how do you get to where when you pray for something, and if you don't see the physical results, it doesn't move you, it doesn't affect you, you still believe what you prayed, and you are not moved by what you see? How do you do that? Jesus said this kind, I believe, talking about this natural type of unbelief, can only come out by prayer and fasting. Now that is major. Let me just say that fasting and prayer are very effective at breaking the control of just natural things over you. It's very important in bringing your body and your emotions and your senses under the control of the Holy Spirit. I'll be explaining this in more detail on our program tomorrow, but let me just say, first of all, that if you aren't denying yourself, if you never deny your own impulses and your own desires, if you never discipline yourself by fasting, rejecting your flesh, and praying, if you don't spend lots of time praying and in prayer, you are going to be controlled by the physical natural realm. We live in a physical world. You've got these five senses. You've got what I believe is a sixth sense, which is faith. And you can walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, that's supposed to be the normal Christian life, but sadly, most Christians walk by sight and not by faith because they don't spend time praying. They don't spend time focused on the Lord. They don't spend time rejecting their flesh and denying themselves, and they just indulge every appetite, every feeling and emotion that they have, and because of it, they're what the Bible calls sensual or carnal. They're controlled and dominated by this carnal realm. And we've got to discipline ourselves. The Apostle Paul says, I keep under my own body. I discipline myself. I deny myself, lest while I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul disciplined himself. You need to live a life of discipline. You need to live a life where you do not just indulge every whim, every feeling, every lust, every appetite. And by doing so, you break the control of this natural unbelief over you.
I was born into this church. We listened because we were told if we didn't, God would strike us with a sickness. He would make us something happen in our life. We could even possibly die. My name's Virginia, and one day, for some odd reason, I turned the TV on, and a man's voice started filling my living room. And I had no antennas, the TV did not work for anything but the VCR, and here it was, getting this voice. There was no picture, just this voice.
Jesus came and took your punishment, and He suffered for your sins, literally went to hell, was resurrected from the dead, and offers you eternal life free of charge. Now that's the good news.
And I had to listen, and it was incredible. God started teaching me His Word. It was through these teachings that I started to hear about this Jesus who was God, who came and did this work on the cross, who took away our sins and did all this. It was incredible. And God started reaching my heart and changing my life. It was transforming. When He says He sets you free, it's the truth. I never experienced it till now, and that is awesome. Now I'm free. I am free in Christ now.
Today's teaching, titled, God Wants You Well, is available as part of the God Wants You Well package. This package includes the entire God Wants You Well teaching series on your choice of CD or as seen on TV DVD, the God Wants You Well book, the companion study guide, the God Wants You Well booklet, and Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4. Together, the four Healing Journeys DVDs contain a total of 19 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. This package has a catalog value of $182, but today you can get these valuable resources for a gift of just $100 or more. In addition, all individual products mentioned on today's program can be ordered through our website by going to awmi.net and clicking on today's TV offer. Also, if you'd like to receive more of Andrew's teachings on healing, you can find them on the Healing MP3 drive. This easy-to-use card connects to your computer with an attached USB cable and includes over 43 hours of related teachings on healing. Purchased separately on CD, these teachings have a value of $268, but you can get them all in MP3 format on this Healing MP3 drive for a gift of $85 or more. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of April, he'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, and at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park for a Good Friday celebration and an Easter sunrise service. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois. In May, he'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, Telford, England, and in Wiesbaden, Germany. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
Bring the whole family and join Andrew and Jamie this summer for the Summer Family Bible Conference in Woodland Park, Colorado. For the first time ever, the conference will meet in the new sanctuary, June 30th through July 4th, vacation in Colorado, and celebrate the 4th of July with us. For more information, visit www.awmi.net.